news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8.07. And the heat will continue today. Not a big surprise. Looks like showers are pretty much very scattered. Not like a very, not a wide coverage of showers next few days. They'll be out there, but there's a pretty good chance it's going to miss you.
Yeah, just those normal summer storms that roll through, if they come through.
Right. They'll come through somewhere, but maybe not in your neck of the woods. That's it. The heat's going to be very, very high. The humidity is high when you relate it to the heat. That means danger. Even if you're going to the beach, you just want to be really careful. Make sure you're hydrated and make sure that maybe you're not in that sun quite as much as you normally would like to be to get that perfect tan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
like me.
Like me, too.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Both of us. So, or
yeah,
maybe
I'm
not.
I'm so tanned the other day, someone said, are you playing in the World Cup? Are you Italian or what's going on there? And I said, no, actually. And if I were playing, I'd be on Team America, or I guess Team England, because this actually, I would probably be the whitest guy on Team England these days.
Yeah,
I have English skin, but if I were on the English World Cup team, I would easily be the whitest guy.
Harry Kane,
mm-hmm.
Their best player.
Yeah,
he's got white skin.
he's about it, I think. Yeah. I don't know, but man, that was an incredible game last night. Really, I mean. And we knew this might happen. We were hoping this would happen. But the World Cup and that celebration converging into the Independence Day celebration.
Amazing.
Couldn't have planned it any better this past weekend.
No, and again, all these, and we've watched all these different videos produced by influencers who are here. It's just not random people. Maybe some of them are random, but these are people who are used to YouTubing it anyway.
Yeah.
They come across for the World Cup. And they fall head over heels for not just American culture and American restaurants and
Buc-ee's.
Massive stores, yeah, and all that, the things that just catch your attention, but really the American people, too. And they're overwhelmed by the patriotism that they sense and the pride in country. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, I think one of the cooler things, and like you said, there are so many influencers or vloggers that are, you know,
here
filming their trips and then are writing about their trips. But to me, the one that I like the most are people getting to experience middle America, especially in the early stages of the World Cup and right before when you had all these different teams in different parts of the country.
That's right.
And what they realized is that, you know, the movies where you see these rude New Yorkers or this cutthroat businessmen, that the people in America, and regardless of political stripes, for the most part, I mean, there are still some extremely political people walking around that'll let you know what they think at all times. But
one is the president.
Well, he's one of them. But generally, in middle America, they've just been treated kindly.
Yeah.
And the Americans really took to these teams, too. Seeing videos where, like, in St. Louis going, man, I can't believe that this team is here. They're really cool and nice. So that's been amazing. But, you know, rolling into the 4th of July and then with the difficulty in pulling that off on Saturday, but the fact that Trump was able to make it out there onto the stage, give what I thought was an amazing speech, and then lead right into a world record-breaking fireworks show that was going off right around midnight in Washington, D.C. It was beautiful.
As the English would like to say, it was massive.
Massive.
They like to tie that word to anything large.
And how about Trump having all of those flags from different stages of the growing of America? I did not expect him to bring out the grandson of Wild Bill, and like he brought out some of the from the Wild West, their progeny, I guess, coming out there. It was really cool. He had some war veterans. He had some Gold Star families out there. Even the astronauts. Really great nod to America, the past, and looking toward the future, too.
Yeah, the Artemis II astronauts. That's all very recent, right? So you had it was quite a display of what America has been over 250 years. You know, Quinn's story last Tuesday was really, really a beautiful tale of, mm-hmm. of young men and courage.
Yeah, he's talking about James Monroe, right?
Yeah, yeah. All around Trenton, New Jersey, and it was that was a great reminder of what this country has been, and if Trump sees it through, will be. Want to hear a little bit of Trump?
Yeah.
Here's him from this was, and the reason I mentioned chaotic in the story, I thought about taking it out, but I think in terms of the weather delays and all that, it wasn't really a shot at Trump. It was just that things did not go necessarily smoothly along schedule because of the weather.
Right. I mean, Trump said there were 350,000 people there initially.
Yeah.
And they had to evacuate. We were talking about that at my parents' house. Like, where do you go? And I think that old saying, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Yeah.
So they were just finding anywhere, the people were, to kind of, you know, stay dry or just get out of the National Mall area until they were finally called back in. You know, with the flyovers every hour on the hour, they were hot-dogging out there. That was really cool. And I think they even called it off, and somebody went and flew anyway, even though they had called it off during that stretch of bad weather they were expecting.
Yes, yeah.
So that was chaotic. I mean, the heat, the storms, moving people out, moving them back in. Fox had to do, 2 hours from what looked like a bunker where they were all in a basement or something like that, which I thought Gary Sinise carried the show for that time, just talking about his foundation and everything. But, yeah, I think chaotic is a fair word.
That's a good guy to share some time with during, like, a rain delay, right?
Yeah.
Gary Sinise, what a wonderful man he is.
What a legend.
Yeah. So here's some of what Trump had to say.
And this American flag still waves proud and free and beautiful. We have thrived and flourished because our founders were great. Our cause was just. Our people are brave. Our culture is exceptional. And our destiny is written by God. And as we can see here tonight, after 250 years, the spirit of 1776 still lives within us all.
A friend of mine was at that event.
Cool.
Texting me that night. She was there. I thought, wow, she lives down in Florida. So this was a very intentional trip for that purpose, to be there for Trump speaking that evening. And that was very impressive that she made all the arrangements. The next day, she was going to Arlington.
Wow.
So I was able to give her a heads up where Zach is in Arlington, and she was able to visit.
What a weekend.
Yeah, what a weekend.
Wow.
What a weekend.
That is amazing. And I thought Trump's speech was really good, so she got to check out a great one. And then, of course, the fireworks show. But I love that part. He's talking about what we've been through.
Yeah.
And he also talks about, you know, the future, what we can do.
Here's more from Trump.
There is no challenge Americans cannot overcome. There is no place we cannot go. There is no goal we cannot reach, and there is nothing that Americans cannot do, and we're proving that right now.
I think he added, no red card we can't get overturned.
Apparently, the Donald had maybe something to do with that. Well, was it the New York Times saying the sources told them that Trump was back-channeled that thing?
We can get into that story hour that Trump pressured the FIFA president to overturning it. Well, we'll see how accurate that is. But as far as the fourth festivities, I thought A+, and a lot of people that were really wanting to hate on it, that's for sure. But
the haters got overrode.
They did get overrode.
The people that just enjoyed it. If you were going to hate on that, you're just a Trump hater, and you're, in essence, you know, kind of morphing into an American hater. You might want to check your oil there, see how you're doing. But you don't want to hate this nation. Not for all the people that have done so many remarkable things. American exceptionalism sounds like it's just an expression, but it's real.
Yeah, and we'll need it this week. Have the NATO summit in Ankara, and Trump getting ready to head that way. We could talk about that as Russia and Ukraine continue to hit at each other. So they're hoping that this will be a big week for peace regarding that. But also, what they're really focused on at the NATO summit this week, you know, Trump had already pushed all of these other countries, these allies, to increase their military spending. And most of them have done that. But I think this week it's about putting that into the letter of the law. ball and really finding out, you know, what these countries are going to spend and what the baseline is going forward. And Trump is going to be wondering why they weren't more help in the Iran situation, which is kind of what Mark Rutte, the NATO Secretary General, what he's focused on getting across this week. You have that. And then this weekend, talks in Pakistan are scheduled to continue U.S.-Iran negotiations on an eventual lasting, hopefully, peace deal. But they have to go through that six-day state funeral for Ayatollah Ali Khamenei before we get to that.
Put it all on hold till that's over with. You know, I don't know. I'm hearing opinions that have me very hopeful of what's going on. A lot of people are framing this as it's been a failure. These terms are not what the Americans were seeking. Iran still seems to be rattling the cage any chance they get with their rhetoric. Mm-hmm. That all seems to be, there's a lot of truth to that.
Well, yeah.
But I would say, remember what it is. It's a 60-day, you know, memorandum, right?
Yeah.
And during that 60 days, things will be negotiated. It's still Trump. They're still dealing with Trump. He calmed things down. Let's shut off the engines and talk. That's essentially what's going on. We're not crazy about everything that Iran is saying and the way they're saying it. But, again, what are they going to get out of this? It's going to be at the end of the 60 days, there's going to be a deal in place or there's not. And the president is still Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And I would say, be hopeful that something, either the deal will be satisfactory and happen. But if that's not the case, I think there's other options out there.
Well, yeah, including maybe going back and continuing to hit them.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that, too, with the story, you know, with the Khamenei funeral and hundreds of thousands of Iranians chanting death to America and death to Israel. There were other reports about the revenge. They want to kill Trump. And they've been making that clear ever since he, you know, bombed Soleimani from beyond Earth's atmosphere.
That's right.
They've had him as a marked man since then. And it's hard to not think about that when you're watching him give his speech like he was Saturday night. And I hate that I'm on the edge of my seat the entire time, but wondering if Secret Service had done a good enough job to keep any of that from happening again.
No kidding.
From him being shot at while on the stage. And I wonder what other people think about while he's up there. People that don't like Trump. Like, are they? And I don't think that most liberals want to see him assassinated. But there's definitely, and he's talked a lot about this over the last week with the rise of socialism and how assassinations have been a tool in the toolbox.
That's part of what they do.
So I freak out. Maybe that's a stronger word than what I really do. But I'm nervous whenever he's up there speaking that something could happen. But think of the restraint it takes, too. And as people, you know, complain one way or the other about how Trump is handling this war in Iran, if you had an entire country that wanted you specifically,
dead,
they've marked you down for revenge assassination and have attempted plenty of times already, the restraint it must take to talk to those same people and say, listen, we're going to come to a peace deal. When you have the world's greatest military at your finger, you just push a button and it's on. The restraint you have to have when an entire, not just nation, but an entire, you know, movement wants you dead. Kind of, I try to keep that in mind throughout this whole thing too, as Trump tries to come to some sort of deal.
Because
that would, you know, if they wanted me, if I was a marked man and I had the U.S. military at my direction, I'd say let them have it and don't stop until there's no one else saying that they want me dead.
He really's got a, he's pretty compassionate for the people of Iran. He realizes that. And I would say that's not the entire, you know, a lot of Iran loves Trump because they see what he's trying to do. Some maybe are in between because of the fact that he told them to hit the streets and then 30,000 of them were mowed down and thinking like, well, thanks for nothing. But in the end, I think this is one of those things where a lot of people are judging this right now. And I think they're judging it too early. You're like reading a novel. You're too early into the novel to really give your assessment of what's going on, because a lot more is going to happen. And I think as long as Trump is the commander in chief, I think most of that will be a positive end.
Mm.
That's my opinion.
That's the hope.
Yep. It's my hope. It's my opinion. And And I think there are some, there could be some unrest among the citizens, too. That could still play a role.
Mm-hmm. And Michael says, yeah, on the other side, it's got to be rough negotiating with someone who just killed your leader as well. He didn't just kill their leader, Michael. He killed all their leaders.
Yeah.
And a bunch of them.
And Israel was part of all of that. You're right. It's 8:22. Yeah, how many did we kill? 20, 30? 8:22, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Talk a little World Cup on the way.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Dan and Dalton, in agreement, I think, though Dalton has not expressed this to me, that the Belgians need to shut their face and play some soccer tonight. Football, whatever you want to call it.
It's called the Belgian dip. There's a saying with the World Cup. There's a saying for every team from the Austin Powers movies, if you look hard enough. What was I saying last week? It's called a Belgian dip, and then there was the Freaky Deaky Dutch. Mm. Yeah, the Freaky Deaky Dutch. That's what I was thinking of with the Norwegians. But the FIFA World Cup, I just wanted to get to this, and then we have a lot of local news to get to also in your text. But if you don't follow sports, or if you're just a World Cup follower, you know, that red card that they gave our best striker, mm-hmm. best scorer on Team USA during that game against Bosnia, red card meant he was out for the rest of that game. The United States was down a man.
Yep.
So it's like Bosnia was on a power play for a lot of the game.
Yep.
And then he was set to miss this coming game, too, which is tonight against Belgium. And it was a terrible call. Said as much at the time.
Well,
the
terrible
day
call
after.
That it was a red card.
That it was
right?
a red card.
Penalty, but okay.
It was a bad call because it wasn't intentional. He just accidentally came down on the other guy's calf. But regardless, the rule stood. And in FIFA World Cup play, you know, there. I don't really even know how much of an appeals process there is. You see it happen so rarely. I think once ever has a red card been rescinded in the way that it was this past weekend. And so the news came out that Trump and the Trump administration played a role in FIFA overturning that red card and allowing Flo Balogun to come back and play tonight. And so many people are so upset that Trump would weigh in on this.
Including the Belgians.
And then you have all these other fans of other teams who maybe realize that it was a bad call, but feel like it shouldn't have been overturned because that's the way it was. The American team's really happy about this. Like
yes.
Christian Pulisic, our best player and the guy who likes to feed Balogun the ball where he can score.
Yeah, here's what he had to say. Happy. Yeah, he's big smile.
He's obviously super happy, man. This is what exactly you want to be able to play in games like this. You know, it was just a big smile on his face and all of ours for him. He deserves it.
So that's 7 tonight in Seattle. It'll be really, really cool. Lumen, I think. Is it Lumen Stadium? Is that where the Seahawks? I don't know what they call it now, but it's the Seahawks Stadium.
Yeah,
is where they're going to be.
They're calling it Seattle Stadium, you know, the way
for
they
the
do
World
it.
Cup, yeah. But Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, so I was watching soccer Friday or Saturday night, and I saw him sitting next to the FIFA president. And I was just wondering what they were getting on about. But apparently he and Andrew Giuliani, who is Rudy's son, he's the executive director of the World Cup Task Force, they got on the phone with some private lawyers who don't work inside the government and basically came to FIFA with some legal complaints about their entire process, which maybe was enough to frighten them
a
little bit.
Twice.
And then Trump personally called the FIFA president. This all pretty much began immediately after that last game that they got on the horn and started trying to overturn this. Yep. They were able to make it happen.
Time was a waste, and they had to get it done.
Had to get it done.
And they did, and a lot of the world's not happy about that. And too stinking bad. 8:30.
Getting your morning moving. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Yeah, 8:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday. And right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning. How are y'all?
We are great. Hopefully you and the team at McConnell had a fantastic Independence Day holiday. But now it's time to get back to work. And for many, they're out looking for a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, and you have those on lock right now.
That's right. We have them here. And actually, they're looking at auctions right now to try to buy some more. I'm asking them. I said, well, where are y'all going to put these things at? Stack them on top of each other. We're going to have to get some of these machines out here to put them on top of each other. But
seriously,
we've got we've got a great selection going on here. We got 0% going on, half-ton brand-new trucks. Putting some new Keith air conditions here, putting some new air conditioning in, so it'll be nice and cool for y'all to come in and buy a few cars from us.
Yeah, and you have quite the selection, as you've noted already, and whether someone gets a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, I know that it's that new car feeling. Either way, you guys do such a great job cleaning those up and getting the information out there to the buyers that it's really a fantastic experience all the way around.
That's right. I mean, we've got a great, great selection of, like I said, pre-owned. You can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. So it's about the best selection of pre-owned we've had in a long time. So if you're looking for pre-owned SUV with that certified warranty for everything, just come on by and see us.
Yep, it's that easy. Hey, we appreciate your time today, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Text line 251-343-0106. Also, the number if you want to contact the show and be on the radio with us. Happy to do that.
Yeah, you can call that number. Let's go to that text line right now. Jason, thank you. He said, good morning, guys. If anybody is interested, these guys are speaking today at 5. You have ALGOP Chairman Scott Stathagen and two candidates for AL1 for the first congressional district. Remember, we're now just over a month out from those special elections on August 11th. But tonight, two candidates from AL1 will be speaking at the Grand Hall on Halls Mill Road. That's John Mills and Austin Sidwell, along with the ALGOP chairman, Scott Stathagen. 5 to 6, meet and greet at the Grand Hall. And then at 6 p.m., their program begins. Also today, if you want to have your voice heard on the plan for traffic over these next, well, they said it's the 2050 plan. So over the next 25 years, if you'd like to have your say on bridges and roadways and whatever you may have, ALDOT hosting a public meeting this afternoon. That'll start at 5 o'clock. It's at the ALDOT Southwest Region Training Building, which is on the I-65 West Service Road North here in Mobile. 5 to 7 tonight. A ALDOT public meeting. It's part of the long-range transportation plan through 2050. The plan helps guide how transportation dollars are spent on projects involving road safety, bridges, hurricane evacuation routes, freight, public transit, and bicycle paths. So that'll be this evening. And we'll get to a little more bridge talk here in just a minute, some Baldwin County bridge talk, but more text to get to here. Let's see. Texter saying Google chaotic, it may change your mind. You're right, Texter. There's probably better terminology to use for what the crowd was experiencing in D.C. for that 4th of July celebration on Saturday. The weather was chaotic. It was hotter than bacon grease, and the storms were rolling in. But from all we've seen, including from your explanation, actually moving the crowds in and out was less than chaotic, rather organized, actually. So you're right. Chaotic, probably the wrong word for that. Chris said, I ran into a group of Argentinian men at Love's in Long Beach. They were blown away with the States. They love it. One even told me what you're saying, nothing like what they hear. I'm fluent in Spanish, so it was cool to see them light up when I spoke to them. They were on their way from Kansas City to Miami.
Wow, isn't that something? That's great. There's another, you have people from Argentina being affected by the blank poor Bayway. So it's now an international situation. So we got to get it right.
We got to fix it. Squirrel Vereen says a juvenile is shot in quote unquote safe downtown Mobile on a holiday by someone shooting at a vehicle with other people, second weekend in a row, and it barely registers with anyone. No remarks outside of reading police reports and news reports. No activists showing up at the death site and condemning violent behavior. Well, and it happened yesterday morning or overnight Saturday into Sunday, and I think we've reported on it every hour of our Monday morning show. But yeah, you're right, Squirrel Vereen. I mean, if you're expecting big protests to come from that, probably not going to see it. Although I did see John Young.
Who's going to protest?
Well, I mean, maybe the people who are tired of seeing their friends and family get shot all the time.
But right. So where's all the protests in the past? We haven't. It's not the first time we haven't seen a reaction to something like this.
Here's one big time reaction and protest, John Young with Men United Against Violence. I think they just put up a new billboard and he was promoting that this weekend. So that is one group.
Yeah, that is.
And there's several groups, but that's one that we know personally that pushes back against that kind of youth violence.
True.
For instance, Chris in Orange Beach sent us some pictures of their get together. He said, I had a fun 4th of July trying to keep from passing out cooking for the family. It was hot, but he's got looks like a couple racks of ribs. Here. Oh, 6 slabs. Bartlett House barbecue. Wow.
I think it's a miracle he did not pass out.
That's great.
Maybe the smell of the ribs kept him alive.
And on the text line, Ricardo Montalban says, death to Iran, just returning the gesture. Yeah,
there you go.
I mean, had hundreds of thousands chanting death to America and death to Israel at the Khamenei proceedings this weekend. Someone online I saw post, and they were trying to compare the two, and how they said, imagine if some war criminal, they were calling Trump, imagine if some war criminal came in and bombed your country, you would be chanting death to them as well. And someone pointed out, well, we had 9/11, and after 9/11 happened the next day, Americans weren't necessarily chanting death to the Taliban or death to Afghanistan, but were chanting USA, USA.
True.
Which I thought was a salient point there.
Yeah.
But yeah, death to Iran, return the gesture. Keith says, has anyone said that they have physically laid eyes on the new Iranian leader, or is he still in hiding?
Still
has
in
there
hiding.
Even been one occurrence of someone saying they saw him? Well, we have the IRGC saying that they've seen him, but I don't know if there have been any actual reports from true journalists that have said they've seen him, or has the CIA weighed in, because you'd think they would know.
They've
at
seen
this
him.
Point.
They've probably seen him. No, no official public. You know, he didn't do any ribbon cutting at the Desert Sheikh's mall. He's been in hiding. Maybe we know exactly where he is, but as far as any public sighting of him, there's been nothing that's been scheduled, and there's been nothing that has happened that I'm aware of.
And remember, they're keeping even the phones, and I would imagine the pagers, after what we've seen these last couple of years, as far away from him as possible. They've been reportedly communicating with him, if he is still alive, via letter courier. So that's the way they're getting the messages in and out, or that's the story we've been told.
We were told that that's why a lot of these negotiations have been very cumbersome and slow to.
I still think he's just a figurehead, if he is alive. I don't think he's the one making the decisions, but that's just my theory.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's that far of a conspiracy theory either. Another text here, Troy fan says, I predict a lot of negative energy for Aldott today. Despicable John Cooper. Michael said, I don't think Cooper should have anything to do with Aldott's long-term plans. Any long-term plans should be made after the Meemaw administration is put out to pasture. And we'll get to that, too. It sounds like Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennan is saying more or less the same thing. And Jerry said, do you believe that Aldott will listen to the public about bridges? Yeah, how long after those public meetings do you think they go before taking their minutes and throwing them in the trash immediately with what everyone told them they want to see?
With Aldott, I think it's, I guess they would not trash the highway because that's their thing, but they dispose of those comments pretty quickly.
Yeah, throwing
them in
the trash. They're not littering them, but they are throwing them away pretty quickly.
We throw around that czar word, the person who happens to be in charge of the highways or the road czar, whatever, or if it's some other portion of government, the border czar. This guy does act like a czar. It's almost too appropriate for John Cooper.
Yeah, he's been known to have a bit of an anger management issue, including with neighbors, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if we get him and Tony Kennan in the same room. I thought the fireworks ended on July 4th. Or July 5th, or for some of us in our neighborhoods, July 8th or 9th.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll be hearing them the next few nights. But John Cooper and Tony Kennan in the same room. Backstrap Stacker said, remember when they announced Mojtaba Khamenei as the leader, they paraded a cardboard photo of him. My guess is he's dead. I mean, that's my working theory as well, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. So back to, Aldott and the bridge. Had the story from 1819 News. Last week, it was actually the first of the month when Erica Thomas posted that Robert Kraft, the mayor of Gulf Shores, more or less, they're happy that there's another way onto the island, but they're not happy with the traffic layout. And it's exactly what some local officials and you, the listeners to Mobile Mornings, were pointing out when Aldott laid out their plan. So we knew we had the old toll bridge right there next to the wharf. And you have 59, you have that bridge. And they wanted more access on and off. So once we went through the entire removal of the toll, you had the debate between the city and Baldwin County Bridge Builders or whatever that company was named that was running the toll road there. So they came to that agreement. But I was a bit shocked and thought it was a bad idea at the time that while they were going to build this new bridge over the ICW and take out the tolls, they were going to make the bridge next to the wharf northbound only, the one more towards Gulf Shores, but still on the Orange Beach side of things, maybe technically in Gulf Shores.
It's in Gulf Shores.
Southbound only.
Yes.
And then keep 59. They're going to widen it, but have that north and southbound as it has always been. And that just seemed like a bad idea from the jump. Why not make both the wharf bridge and the new ICW bridge north and southbound? That way we wouldn't have to deal with what residents and visitors to Gulf Shores are dealing with now. They're happy coming onto the island with the new bridge, but when they're ready to go home, they're not going to drive all the way toward
Orange
Beach.
They've
got to
go one way or the other.
Yeah.
Now, the wharf one is closer to them, but if they
were... Not if they're in Gulf Shores.
But wherever they're staying, but the wharf bridge is closer to the new bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Those are closer in,
right.
Maybe a mile apart, maybe, whereas 59 is further down the road. So, yeah, wherever they're staying in Gulf Shores, it's either going to be, it would either be that bridge or 59.
Yeah, they'd either have to go all the way down to the wharf or take 59, which is what Kraft is saying is why they're all taking 59.
So here's my thought on all that when it happened, is we have such a proliferation of news that we've got to kind of work our way through. I was like, I guess the people in charge have got the right idea here. Let's see what happens. So what Kraft is saying is, well, we've seen what has happened for a month, and it's dysfunctional.
Yeah.
It is not working. So I didn't really have an opinion on it, except it was kind of like, I guess this may make sense once we see it in operation.
Mm-hmm.
But if Kraft is saying it's not making any sense, there's your red flag.
I had a strong opinion on it from the announcement because we've seen Aldott and we've seen them screw plenty of things up before, and we've seen how they don't really care to listen to people in Mobile and Baldwin counties about what we need in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And then add that to the fact that Chris Elliott was already, the day they made the announcement, saying this isn't going to work. I was hoping they'd come to some kind of agreement before opening the bridges. They didn't. Kraft is saying it's exactly what we thought, that 59 is still getting, backed up with people leaving Gulf Shores because they don't want to drive all the way down to the wharf to hit the northbound there. So then over the weekend, 1819 got some extra commentary. Started Thursday when Jeff Poor had Chris Elliott on once again. And he had some interesting things to say about Aldott and John Cooper during that visit with Jeff on Friday. He said the reason why they used those traffic routes the way they did, because it was, quote, the least expensive option, right? He said, if you just have one-way traffic going in one direction, you don't need to have as many safety features to keep cars apart, and there are fewer lanes from a turning standpoint and everything else. So the reason it's designed like it is...
Cost.
...is cost. He said, Director Cooper was right in the middle of trying to, we're going to call it negotiating, to be generous with the toll company, and that's why this thing developed like it did. He said, should it have gone that way? Certainly, there are a lot of documents that it shouldn't have, but that's why this happened, basically... cost. And if the state, 1819 writes, if the state converted both bridges to two-way, Elliott said he believes Gulf Shores residents would likely use the new bridge, and that tourists, maybe more so on the Orange Beach side, would use the wharf bridge, mm-hmm. or on the Gulf Shores side would use 59.
Yeah, depending on if you're in Gulf Shores, where you're staying, if you're closer to 59 or if you're the West Beach, you probably still use 59.
But yeah, whichever one's closest.
But you'd have the option, yeah.
And he said, I think part of Mayor Kraft's frustration is there was at least initially an understanding that this was going to be a two-way bridge. There were a lot of decisions made by the city based on a reliance on that. Like, we're going to put a $150 million high school right here, and then that changed after the city had made certain plans.
True.
So you could see why Kraft would be upset. But he also, and there's been more talk about this, a new roadway potentially that'll run through Gulf State Park. And I don't know what parts of Gulf State Park will change if they end up doing that. But Elliott said, I think we can start talking in the next year or two about that being a reality. We're going to have to continue to look at roadway improvements. We're going to have to look at new bridges. We're going to have to look at new ways to get folks around. And 1819 also got some commentary from Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennan, who you're not going to believe this, but he was a little more direct in his criticism of LDOT.
Yeah.
He said, I 100% agree with Mayor Kraft that a new LDOT director will actually listen to the people who live here and deal with the traffic. They're banking on once the new governor is in office, and maybe a new LDOT director, that they'll start listening to us down here in Southwest Alabama. Kennan continued, we absolutely have something valid to say, and we need someone to listen instead of looking at us like we're a bunch of dumb hicks. So I'm looking forward to the new governor and a new LDOT director, because I think we can get some things done. He said, in my mind, I think Cooper had his mind made up, and no matter what we said, he was not going to change it. He had no intention of making a change, no matter what case we presented.
Cooper's so consistently arrogant, I guess you would say. The history of his rule over the roads of Alabama has been, his attitude has been pretty consistent in major situations where he knows he's going to get pushback. And he simply doesn't care.
It doesn't.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's almost admirable. if I didn't hate it so much.
852 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Morning.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
It's the Hollies right there. They also had a song that just really sets the tone for days like this. Hot Time, Summer in the City. Do you remember that one?
No, I don't think so. Maybe if I listened to it.
It was, and it had the Hot Time, Summer in the City, you know, things are gritty and all this kind of stuff. And you heard the honking of horns and the construction.
Mm.
If you could put a bunch of sound effects together to give you the idea, it's hot.
Yeah.
They pulled it off.
Yeah, all right.
Really good.
It's on the list. I'm going to have to listen to it not from 9 to noon because Jeff Poor is on then. And then not from noon to 2. We have April Marie Fogle in for Sean. But maybe after 2 o'clock I'll fire up the other Holly song.
Please.
I do love
it. They had a few hits.
Long Cool Woman, though. What a song there.
Yeah, nice.
Jeff Poor show coming up. State Representative Jennifer Fiddler in hour number 1. Dale Jackson with WVNN joins the show in hour number 2. And the Democrat response to the Jeff Poor show, former Congressman Parker Griffith joins in hour number 3.
He ain't heavy, he's my brother. Another one of their signature songs. That's the Hollies.
You know the Hollies.
I kind of do, just kind of, sort of.
I'm just a millennial who knows the one song, so I need to pick it up. Let's see, BA says, is the new Gulf Shores High School going to turn the Not-So-Express into a school zone twice a day, every day of the school year? CB Carl says, good morning, guys. This whole bridge mess reminds me of the nugget of wisdom I got years ago from an old farmer friend. Carl, let me tell you something that people who say that they are smarter than me don't know. That's pretty much what it sounds like when LDOT gets in town. Texter, if you've ever been on Canal around 10 a.m. departure from the condos, it's crazy traffic. Having two lanes is a plus. And this texter, listening on the app on my way to Memphis. Great. Love to hear that. Keep listening with the Jeff Poor Show on the way next.